Warning. The views expressed on the Mike Cannon Show, or the segments brought to you on this Indie Media Radio Show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNRB nor WNRB's host.
This is my boomstick!
The Mike Cannon Show.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Welcome again to another edition of the Mike Cannon Show, Indie Media Radio for Central Wisconsin. We have a great show lined up for you this week, but first this public service announcement. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
So, Mom, what if something happens? Should I stay where I am and wait for you, or go to Grandma's house, since it's closer?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Is there a place we all meet? If the phone doesn't work, how will I tell you I'm there?
And one extremely good reason why you should.
What should I do?
Talk to your family about what you would do in case of an emergency. For more information, go to www.ready.gov.
What you just heard is a sound clip from a video produced by the National Cable and Telecommunication Association. It starts out with a bunch of cute little kids all alone in a dark room with cute little concerned looks on their faces. Boy, you just want to reach out and tell them, "Don't worry, children. Everything will be all right. Don't worry."
So, Mom, what if something happens? Should I stay where I am and wait for you, or go to Grandma's house, since it's closer?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
The terrorists won't get you. We'll get a plan together, so the terrorists won't get you. These are the types of public service announcements, or PSAs, that have been airing on local stations. I've heard the radio version twice now on that All Hate AM radio station here in town.
So, Mom, what if something happens?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
There are versions that are also produced by the Ad Council and a couple other groups that I know of. So why would the Ad Council and the National Cable and Telecommunication Association of America be trying to put the fear of God or terrorist into our children? Why would these business interests and lobby groups be doing this to us? Wouldn't it make more sense if they suggested that we talk to our children about what to do in case a stranger talks to them, or what to do in case of a house fire, and talk about the evacuation plans, or what to do in case of a tornado, or how about just talking to our kids about not playing with matches? How about something that makes a little bit of sense rather than what to do in case of a terrorist attack?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
So why would these business groups be trying to convince us with images and words from cute little kids in a scary dark room worrying about something that probably will never happen to them? It's called indoctrination, and these business lobby groups are trying to help us be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
So, Mom, what if something happens?
So why would they do that? Well, according to Dr. Lawrence Britt, who a couple of years ago did an analysis of fascist regimes, including Mussolini's Italy, Hitler's Germany, Franco's Spain, and fascist Indonesia and several Latin America countries, he came up with a list of things common to all of them. According to Dr. Britt, number 6 on his list was control of mass media. Quote, "Sometimes the media is directly controlled by the government, but in other cases the media is indirectly controlled by the government regulation and or sympathetic media spokespeople and executives," unquote.
So, Mom, what if something happens?
Number 7. Obsession with national security. Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government to control the masses. And number 9 on this list, corporate power is protected. The industrial and business aristocrats of the fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating the mutually beneficial business-slash-government relationship and power elite. So again, why would the National Cable and Telecommunication Association of America and the Ad Council be putting together these PSAs to run on Fox Television-type networks and the all-hate AM radio stations here in town? Why, quote, the industrial and business aristocrats of a fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating a mutually beneficial business-slash-government relationship. That's why the Ad Council wants us to talk to our children about terrorist attacks. It's to make a boogeyman and to keep us afraid. Quoting Dr. Britt again, fear is used as a motivational tool by the government. You can find more interesting parallels between fascist nations and what America is turning into by Googling Dr. Britt, that's B-R-I-T-T, and terrorism.
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
As a sidebar, you can check out the movie V is for Vendetta for a dramatization of the extreme possibilities when we allow this stuff to happen.
So, Mom, what if something happens? Should I stay where I am and wait for you, or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack. There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack. There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack. Plan in case of a terrorist attack. A terrorist attack. A terrorist attack.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
Commander-in-Chief Radio.
Third time I've said that.
Is on the air.
Next satellite radio broadcast, a new radio broadcast system. Hear my mix.
Commander-in-Chief Radio.
Do it.
Is on the air.
Do it. Yeah. Good evening, I'm George W. Bush, President of the United States. I'm so pleased to be working with Senator Clinton. She is a fabulous woman.
Thank you, President Bush. As you know better than most, as all of us know, we must say nuclear.
Seriously.
Seriously. Obviously.
No doubt in my mind.
No doubt.
Nuestros hermanos y hermanas, ame al prójimo como a sí mismo. Love your neighbor like you'd like to be loved yourself.
With great frequency and vigor.
Como a sí mismo. It's a universal call. Como a sí mismo. It's a universal love. I should have done this 4 years ago.
What's amazing in it?
Que Dios le bendiga. Como a sí mismo. People try to put us down.
People like you and me.
I don't think so, Bill. Just because we get around.
Welcome to Washington. Goes with the territory.
Things they do. Look awfully cold. I seriously suggest you go. We have got to work together, poppycock, to eradicate poppycrock. To eradicate poppycrock. And as a matter of fact, I'd call it crap.
Crap?
Huh? I wouldn't call it crap.
Crap?
Yeah, crap. Oh my goodness.
What's going on?
Blow the whistle. We have a problem. Poppycrock. Poppycock. Poppycrock. You're in control of your life, not the government. The government's not dictating, you know, what you, how you do things. You are.
At this critical time, in this complicated situation we find ourselves in, let us be unequivocally clear. If we allow this dehumanizing rhetoric to go unchallenged, it can spread, and it can take young minds and twist and pervert them. That infection is contagious. That infection is contagious, and it can spread.
Kind of like a dog chasing your tail. Stop. That's a cheap shot.
It has to end now.
That was a short segment from Commander-in-Chief Radio, which you can find the entire show on the radioforall.net website. Again, that's radio, the number 4, then all.net, radioforall.net. By the way, notice that I included a bit about Hillary Clinton in there. I did this so those few conservatives out there who listen to my show won't say, gee, Mike Cannon, you just hate Bush. It's true I don't like him, but I don't like Hillary as well. She's Republican light and has compromised in her principles to corporate America to get elected just as fast as Bush ever did. So I dislike them both. I refuse to be forced to pick my own repressor, and I will never, ever be forced to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Oh, you little bastards!
Up next. Yesterday was the third anniversary of this insane adventure known as the Iraq War. And as everybody is saying, it has degenerated into a civil war. Even the former U.S.-backed president of Iraq says so. I hate to say I told you so, so I won't. I'm not proud of the fact the war is going to hell. I'm not proud of the fact that our soldiers are dying for no good reason. I'm not proud of the fact that 250,000 Iraqi civilians have died in the last 3 years. And I'm not too proud either to say that I don't have all the answers, except it's time to bring our troops home. And for God's sake, America, you can't get yourself out of Iraq by bombing Iran. For God's sake, don't pull that trigger too. Anyway, this weekend in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, there was a sizable anti-war rally where many of these issues were being talked about, including the fear of even greater escalation by the fear-mongers, which is happening with the talk of bombing Iran, which surely will take the fence-sitters around the world and pile-drive them headfirst into the ground, making us even more hated in the world, if that is all possible. The following are some interviews I took this weekend. The First Lady's voice you'll hear is from a Wisconsin mother whose son came home from Iraq last year and has twice tried to kill himself. Though he's perfectly physically healthy, he can't get over the deaths he's seen while in Iraq. I'll let the soldier's mother speak for herself. That'll be followed by a speaker who has just gotten back from Iran. She'll try to dispel some of the propaganda our government and local people like Kevin Hermaning are trying to tell us about Iran. Again, I'll let her own words speak for themselves. Then there will be a few short interviews with anti-war people before the march in downtown Stevens Point. Lastly, it'll be followed by sounds of a silent march with one lone flute player, which will be followed up by this week's Iraq body count. Again, here are the interviews and sounds from this weekend's anti-war rally in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. As always, thanks for listening to my Canon Show, Indie Media Radio for Central Wisconsin. Here are those interviews.
I'm looking for him, and like the next day, I got a phone call that he had been drinking that night, and he had been talking his crazy war talk, and how does he get the blood of the Iraqi people he murdered off his hands, and he then left and drove his car over an embankment. People that have seen the car said my son should be dead. They said he shouldn't have walked out of that crash, but he did. So he called me, and he was busted up a little bit, and he's like, I'm like, son, I love you. I love you so much. And he's like, whatever. That's not my son to say whatever. It's always been, I love you too, Mom. You'd have to know my kid to know he's somebody else. So I've heard from him twice since the accident, and that was back in January. The second time I heard from him, he said he feels better. I think he feels better because his outsides got beat up and they match his insides. And that's why he feels better, because he wants to beat himself up, he wants to hurt himself. He doesn't want to think about the things he did over there. He doesn't want to think about the dead children's bodies he had to pick up. He doesn't want to think about that. He doesn't want to think about the people he killed. And over there, you see who you're killing. It's not like they're way off in the distance. He sees who he shot. The Army actually calls them confirmed kills for him. I don't know why they do that, but he had confirmed kills that he knew, and then a bunch of maybes. Well, anyway, I haven't heard from him in a while, and his brother, his younger brother, they're 11 months apart, are very close, found him. He calls his brother the Blob. He says, yeah, he's just a blob. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't want to do anything anymore. He said, last time I saw him, he's living in somebody's basement, and he doesn't go out, and he doesn't go anywhere. I don't want this to happen anymore. I don't want this to happen to one more family, to one more person's kid. We need to get out of Iraq. We need to be out of there. Military families started with two people. It's now over 3,000 strong. So military families, for the first time, are really acting up and speaking out and saying enough is enough. And I just want to say, do whatever you can. I'm all for subversive activities. I'm all for getting out there and raising some heck. But only you know what you're comfortable doing. Me, I'll commit acts of treason if I have to. In fact, I'm leaving for Canada when I get done here. If you know anybody needs a place in Canada, give me a call. I'll get them over there. I don't care. I want people to live. I don't want them to come home like my son and be dead inside. Whatever, if you ever need me somewhere, get hold of me through MFSO. I'll come. I'll help. I'll do whatever you need. I'll help somebody that's already in the military, and that is considered treasonous. I don't want to see another kid, another mother's child, go through this. And you know what? A lot of people say to me, oh, he knew what he was getting into. No way did my son know what he was getting into when he enlisted. No way did he comprehend at 17 years old when he entered the delayed entry program what is war. He knows now what war is. You know, and people say to me, oh, they got the vote over in Iraq. I said, I don't know. If you ask a mother if she'd rather have the vote or her kid alive or her husband alive, I bet she'll say her kid or her husband alive. You know, we've got no business over there. My son was sent there for a lie. I've lost my son to a lie. You know, I don't know. President Bush, he had a real nice banner, said mission accomplished. I'm not seeing it. I don't think there's an exit strategy. I'm not a political woman. I think the exit strategy is we'll leave when there's no more oil there. That's what I think. So I just want to really encourage you and tell you to keep getting out there and keep talking to your friends that are still asleep. Because America needs to wake up. Because I don't know how many families are coming to deal with this, but I know I get emails from families whose kids are the exact same way as mine. That they don't know who they are anymore. That they're dead inside. That they're not their kid anymore. You know, the military trained them. And then they didn't shut it off when they got back over here. My son never got offered any help. Even though I called the base and said, my son has PTSD and somebody needs to do something. And the chaplain's like, well, I don't know, you know. They didn't offer him any help. The only people that have offered any help are the people that are sitting in this room that are saying enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm just one person. This is just my family's story, but I'm telling it to whoever will listen because I know the truth about what's going on in Iraq. I know what the war did to my son. And anybody who lived during Vietnam knows what it did to that generation. Well, it's happening again, and I can't say that enough. It's happening again, and they're coming back from the war, and the war is coming home with them. And I just want to say, you know, that my son's body survived Iraq, but not anything else. And that's all I have. Thank you.
That was a military mother talking about her suicidal son, who just returned from Iraq last year. You're listening to talks given at the anti-war rally held in Stevens Point, Wisconsin this past weekend in recognition of the third anniversary of the Iraq War. Next, another mother who was just returned from Iran will talk about her concerns about trying to stop any attempt to pick a fight with that country. Again, the next rally speaker just returned from Iran. Here is her story.
Has changed somewhat, and now it is stop the war in Iraq, and don't start one in Iran. Okay. I'd like to tell you about our experience. I was one of 18 people that went on the first delegation to Iran, and it was sponsored by the Fellowship of Reconciliation. I'd like to tell you about some of the people we met, because they're folks just like us. We traveled to Tehran and Shiraz and Esfahan and Qom, which is the Vatican City of Shia Muslims. We met people. We got to Shiraz. We had flown in. About 11 o'clock at night, we're schlepping our luggage over to the bus. And there's this gentleman who, in perfect English, says, welcome. 1,000 times welcome. He said that he wanted us to have a good visit. He was so glad that we Americans had come because it was so important for us to learn about each other so that we could live in peace. And we all thought, yes, this is why we came. Another person I'd like to tell you about. We met with a women's environmental group. There are about 250 NGOs in Iran. You know, this is not the totalitarian state our government would have us believe. But this was the Women's Society Against Environmental Pollution. And they see themselves as being an education group and whistleblowers. The woman who talked to us was 88 years old. She had formed this group about 20 years prior. And she talked to us, she said, you know, it's time for us women to really get organized. Because women are really the first environmentalists. A, we have control of reproduction, we shouldn't have too many children. B, we are the first teachers of children, so we ought to teach them to respect the earth. C, we ought not to succumb to the shopping disease. We shouldn't keep buying all this stuff. And third, we really have to do something about capitalism. And again, I thought, okay. This group was also interesting because they had all the usual committees. They had translated some of their information to us. And one of the things that they had was a committee for unforeseen events. And I think we probably all need committees for unforeseen events. They also showed us pictures. They had protested a super highway that was going to be built from Tehran over the Elbrus Mountains into the Caspian. And they thought that was going to ruin an ice age forest. So they showed us pictures for all the world, just like us. They stood in front of bulldozers, big signs up in Farsi. They didn't get, sometimes like us, they didn't get the highway stopped. But one thing that they did do, the government was going to sell land on both sides of the highway, and they did get that stopped. Another person we talked to was a young woman. We visited the state-run school for media studies and got to talk with a bunch of young people. And they were very interested in the whole issue of freedom of the press. And they're aware, I mean, there is some control by their government, but again, it's not the totalitarian kind of thing. For example, there's 4 English-speaking newspapers in Tehran, more than we have in some of our cities. But she asked, why are you so worried about us having nuclear power? And I said, well, I don't think it's the nuclear power. We're worried that you might have nuclear weapons. And she looked at me and she said, you're afraid of us? Because they do live in fear of us. And have good reason to, because of our history. For example, we met with 2 Shia mullahs, and really all that means is that they're clerics, and they've had 7 years of education in Arabic and in the Quran and in legal jurisprudence. And one of them talked to us. He said, what is it about the United States and Israel? Why do you have such a double standard? Why is it okay for Israel to have nuclear weapons and not have signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty and to be killing Palestinians? Why is that okay? He asked, why is that okay? And we try to build nuclear power and you want sanctions. And I think we should make no mistake. They pointed that out to us too. We already, the U.S. has sanctions which President Clinton imposed back in the 90s. And they are worried about that. But they have also survived. Really, the whole issue of sanctions and of getting the U.N. involved is really, I think, for 2 reasons. The first and most important one is oil. Iran has the 2nd or 3rd largest oil deposits. And they also have the 2nd largest natural gas deposits. And just as we wanted to do in Iraq, we want to control the oil in Iran and the natural gas. And the other thing that's happening on the 21st of this month Iran is going to create its own oil market. It's called an oil bourse. And instead of, now all the oil in the world is either sold in New York or in London, and it uses dollars. They're going to have it be sold in euros. What that means is countries, especially like China, which gets most of its oil from Iran, isn't going to need to keep dollars in reserve. And it could potentially devalue the dollar. And that's part of the reason that we have all this hype right now about, you know, the sky is falling and Iran has nuclear weapons. Even the CIA says they're 5 to 10 years away from having nuclear weapons because they've just started nuclear power, which, interestingly enough, our government also talked the Shah into doing. The nuclear power was started during the time that we supported the Shah. So they're very aware of what it is that that this government is doing there. For example, I don't know if all of us are aware, but in 1953, we overthrew a democratically elected government. Mossadegh nationalized the oil in Britain, and we thought that was just awful, that they should have their own oil. I mean, after all, how did our oil get under their sand? And so we had the first of many CIA coups, and we reinstalled the Shah. And then for another time, when President Carter let the Shah into the country for cancer treatment, they were sure that this was a prelude to yet a third time reinstalling the Shah. And so they took hostages. But for us, we keep forgetting that history didn't stop in 1979 when they took the hostages. We have continued, and I have to tell you, too, that nobody was hurt. The hostages were held for 444 days, but they were all returned safely. And what the Iranians found at the embassy was 53 volumes of records of espionage, of us organizing the opposition, of us spying against Iran. So they're afraid, with some good reason, of what we might do. We currently have drones flying over Iran. We currently have special forces on the ground installing radiation detectors. We really have continued to meddle in their affairs. And they're worried about that, and they're also worried about the fact that on two of their borders, Iraq and Afghanistan, there are U.S. military forces occupying those countries. Israel has nuclear weapons, and on the other side of them, both of India and Pakistan have nuclear weapons. And Mr. Hanif was very quick, the mullah was very quick to point out to us, well, how come it's okay for them to have weapons and not have signed the non-proliferation treaty? You know, what's with this double standard? And most of the people that we talked with in Iran really don't want nuclear weapons. We're not probably aware of it, but actually it is against Islamic faith to use nuclear weapons. And they extrapolate because Muhammad said that you are not to poison anybody's well. Obviously, nuclear weapons do a whole bunch more. And so both of the supreme leaders, Khomeini and also Khamenei, the current leader, have issued legal rulings or fatwas saying that nuclear power, well, actually nuclear power too, but nuclear weapons especially, are anti-Islamic. But one of the people said, you know, under the Shia Muslims, which they say are sort of like the Catholics of Christianity, it is important that you defend yourself. You are never to be the aggressor, but you can defend yourself. And so part of what I think the nuclear weapons issue has turned into is this sort of thing about sovereignty and a hope that they'll be one of the big boys. You know, it seems to me that if we are serious about not having Iran have nuclear weapons, then what we ought to do is we ought to follow the UN Security Council resolution, which says that the Middle East ought to be a nuclear-free zone, which means that Israel doesn't have weapons either.
the other thing that we need to do is we need to look at our own militarism and our own nuclear, nuclear issues. We spend $40 billion a year on nuclear weapons. We have a defense budget of over $500 billion a year. We're the only country that's used nuclear weapons. We are currently building, or say we're building, bunker busters so we can, you know, get all these bad guys, mostly in the Middle East. And what we're doing is we are also wanting to rebuild our already old nuclear weapons. So if we're really serious, one of the things that people in Iran, we met with a woman in a shrine. She was there to pray because her daughter had been killed, and it was one of her daughter's favorite places to come. And several people in our delegation could speak Farsi, and so we talked with them. And she said, "Doesn't it bother you that that your government is killing people in Iraq?" And we said, "Yeah, we're a peace group. It does bother us. That's why we're here, because we want to stop all wars." And she said, "Well, you know, we women went out with sticks and stones and had ourselves a revolution. What are you going to do?" And I think that's a really good question. Lots is happening. There's 23 of these events all over Wisconsin. 32 cities have referendum on their ballot in April to bring the troops home now. Yeah, and a lot of people signed those petitions. And we have 152 groups in the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice. You know, I think that we have a movement. What we really need to do is exactly what Georgia said. We really need to get out there. We need to speak truth to power. We need to end the war in Iraq, and we need to stop any war in Iran. Thank you.
That speaker at the anti-war rally this past weekend was talking about her concerns about Iran and her recent visit to that country. Next, short interview with a member from the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, and some short interviews from marchers at the anti-war rally held last weekend in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. As always, thanks for listening to Mike Cannon Show, Indie Media Radio for Central Wisconsin. I'm with a representative from Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice, and what is your name, please?
My name is Camomile Nuss. I'm on the executive committee.
Great. Can you tell me a little bit about what your organization does and your involvement here today at this peace rally?
Sure. Our organization gets together other organizations throughout the state that are working towards peace movements or anything that has to do with justice, environmental. We've come together and we've created different planks deciding what's important to the organization and all of the organizations that are members of our organizations. Right now we have about 150 member organizations. In addition to that, individuals can also become members of our organization. And what we do is we just make sure that everybody knows what everybody else is doing so that we can really be organized throughout the state. We send out an email every week that tells what organizations are doing in different communities around the state so people can attend actions or organizations that are happening, like peace rallies and marches or speakers, things like that throughout the state.
And what is that that website that if people wanted to try to get on that emailing list or find out what's going on as far as peace and justice issues in Wisconsin, what would that website be?
It's WNPJ.org.
WNPJ.org. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. I'm with Mike Miles. He is running for Congress in the Green Party ticket against, I believe, Dave Obey. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm running against Dave Obey for my second time. Right.
Today you're at this peace rally. I'm running since the theme of my show this week is going to be about the peace and peace movement in Wisconsin. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the differences between basically what your policies would be on those subjects and what you perceive as Dave Obey's or basically Congress as established right now.
I think the problem with Congress right now is that they have no imagination whatsoever. They're too ingrained with what reality is, and right now reality sucks because we're into this basically forever war. I mean, how do you wage a war on terror? There's not even someone you can depose and then go back and put somebody else better in charge. It just goes on and on and on. And I think that the problem with Congress they're all in the same boat, Republicans, Democrats alike. The problem with Congress is it's all about the money. And I think to be fair to the few who were there, who are willing to stick their necks out, and who are willing to introduce even hopeless bills, bills that they just know aren't going to go anywhere, but it makes a stand. It's like what Russ Feingold did with trying to censure Bush. I would like in Congress right now to a brothel full of corporate whores, and the madams of the House are the members of the Appropriations Committee, and they know where the money, it's all about the money, and they know how to hook the people up coming in who need money or want to spend money with the people who want money, or how it all works. And it's one thing to say, yeah, I'm against the war, but then you just keep funding it and funding it and funding it. And that simply has to stop. It has to stop, because right now, I mean, the only force that's out there that's stopping the U.S., and the U.S. has no intention of voluntarily leaving Iraq, because it is about oil, it is about support for Israel, it is about location, it's where you want to be. The only people forcing the United States out of Iraq right now is not insurgency. What is insurgency? The people forcing the United States out of Iraq right now are the people who are living under occupation. It's about 5%, is the estimates we understand, of people are resisting. That's like 1.5 million people in Iraq who are resisting a foreign occupation. If they're the only ones fighting this, it's going to end up with a lot more dead Americans, a lot more dead Iraqis. The American people have to wake up and really become a force for resistance. American soldiers are going to have to really come to the forefront and start resisting illegal orders in the field. That's what really brought Vietnam to an end, when they started losing control in the field. Hugh Thompson, you know, Hugh Thompson just died. Probably one of the most courageous acts from a soldier in the field, when he landed that helicopter in between the troops and the villagers, and he stopped me life from getting a lot worse than it is. Congress, they're on the sidelines right now. They're on the sidelines, and they're scared to death to take a stand, particularly those who want to be against the war. If you're for the war, you know, they're all gung-ho. It's like, yeah, we got to get Al-Qaeda, we got to get the terrorists, we got to get the oil, we got to do what we got to do. There's really very, very little opposition in Congress right now, and I'm all about opposing not only this war, but the concept of war. We're in the new millennium. You know, we've got to leave this stuff behind. I'm completely sold on negotiation, on nonviolence, on working together with people. Congress isn't there.
I can't answer my question. I know the march is starting right now. I don't know if you need to get to that right away. One more real quick question. The Greens have done a great job, especially around your area, around Luck, Wisconsin, on organizing city referendums against the war. And I don't know if you're part of that or not, but if you are, or you know more about it than I do, can you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, we actually did do that in our area, which is on the other side of the state, right across from Minneapolis-St. Paul. It's pretty easy to do. It needs to be a city or a village, a municipality, in order to force it onto the ballot by collecting a certain number of signatures. We did Osceola, Frederick, and Amory. In the townships, it's a little bit different, because they're not quite the municipality that cities and villages are. So you can't collect signatures to force them on, but you can talk to a township board and have them put it on voluntarily, which is what happened up around Hayward. And in that area, all the Peace North people did that. And so all of those townships are all elected officials who volunteered to put this on the ballot.
So what is just a ballot, my understanding, I only heard briefly about it, but it's a ballot basically saying you want to bring the troops home now, just putting on the April referendum, is that correct?
Yeah, it's going to be on the ballot on April 4th, 32 villages and cities and a few towns up north all around the state, and it's made international news. People are really looking at it. And it can be done again for the November election. There's a timing thing. You have to have certain things done by certain deadlines. So we're going to be looking hard, seeing how it comes in. And people who want to do it again in November, if they go to the website of the Wisconsin Network for Peace and Justice and click on referendum, everything is there that they need to know how to do this in their own local situation.
I understand the Green Party also has probably a link to it, too. Can you tell me a quick reference to the Green Party if people want to look into it a little bit more?
Go to milesforcongress.com, because I got that going on, and then that'll get you to the Green Party site. I don't even know what the Wisconsin Green Party's website is off the top of my head.
That's right. One more thing. You mentioned cities. Can you tell me some of the cities? I know they got quite a few large ones that's actually on the referendum.
Yeah, I mean, I think the largest one is La Crosse got it on. Madison got it. Madison got it on, and then not Milwaukee itself, but some of the big suburbs around Milwaukee. So some people did a lot of legwork to do that to get it on. So yeah, we've got some big cities along with just little old townships.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. I'm with some people that are lining up for the march, the Peace Rally March. It's in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and I'm with a couple that came that's lined up ready to go. And I'm wondering if you can give me your name and where you're from.
Kurt Exner is from Rothschild.
Great, you came down from Rothschild. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the reasons why you wanted to come down today?
Well, this war is wrong. We should not be over in Iraq. He lied to us. He lies to us every day. It's time to get out. Time to save some lives. Our lives and the lives of the innocent Iraqis who are over there.
Great. Did you have any comments that you wanted to add as well?
I guess just to say that war is not the answer. Peace is the answer. We need to cooperate and learn to get along. And we can't attack preemptively against countries that did nothing to us.
Great. And you're from Rothschild as well, correct?
Stevens Point.
Oh, Stevens Point. Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. I'm with some more people that have lined up for the Stevens Point march. We just got done with some of the great talks that were given, and they're lined up ready to march down the streets of Stevens Point. I wonder if you can give me your name and what town you're from and why maybe you came today.
My name is Michael Guschenritter, and I just say I'm from Earth, and pretty much I'm here because Bush brought me here, and it's the environmental degradation of it all is just detrimental to our world.
And so you basically believe a lot of the wars are bringing this environmental degradation. That's pretty much one of the reasons why you're down here today?
Yeah, and a humanitarian effort.
Great, cool. Could I get your name and where you're from as well?
My name is Drew Mieske. I'm from Oshkosh.
Okay. Why you come from all the way from Oshkosh for this?
We came for the festivities. We're doing what we feel everyone should be doing. I mean, there's a lot of people that are against this war, but they're not all willing to speak out and rally and show that they are against it and unify. So
we're trying to do that. Oh, great. Thank you for coming. Can I have your name? Where are you from?
Hi. Kim Fox from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And we're here today just to let the world know that we don't support Bush or his policies. We want our troops to come home. We want the Iraqi civilians not to be murdered for oil.
Up next, the sounds of a lone flutist who was walking in the silent anti-war march held last weekend in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. That'll be followed by this week's Iraq Body Count.
As of Monday, March 20, 2006, 2,307 United States military personnel had died in Iraq since the start of the invasion. 17,004 United States military personnel had been wounded, over 5,000 of which had suffered grievous injuries such as amputations. 204 other coalition forces had also been killed.
Join us or die.
According to the British medical journal Lancet, over 100,000 Iraqi civilians had died since the start of the invasion.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
What do you see when you're in the dark and the demons come?
You know you only had one shot to make it right. To do the right thing, so listen to the Mike Cannon Show.
reminder that the Mike Cannon Show, normally heard on Monday starting at 2 p.m., can also be heard now live on the web by going to one of our websites. Either check out the NTC website, NTC being the school that is hosting this WNRB 93.3 station, or clicking on our web stream link at our blog site at wnrb.blogspot.com. Also, please feel free to contact me at themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's all one word, themikecannonshow@hotmail.com. That's about a wrap for this week. We'll close this hour with a fun little song by an anarchist Australian band called Chumbawamba. Until next week, take care.
Like the time that this minister in Indiana claimed that the theme song for Mr. Ed, that old television show about the talking horse, if you played the Mr. Ed theme song backwards, it said, Satan is the source.
Misinformation.
Taking scissors to play with the black folk down in Florida. Colored pens and for sexing up the... I'm the someone who knew, they're not telling pre-September. I lean on in the loop to help them unremember.
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong. Wrong, wrong.
Let's go. the border. Stole Danny Casolaro's memoirs. Put the acid in the reservoirs. I'm Ron Brown's body on the T43. And I hit those missing WMDs.
This has been the Mike Cannon Show. This has been Glee Glee Productions, specially made for WNRB Central Wisconsin Community Radio. I'm Mike Cannon.
Sleep now. It'll hurt less in the morning.